Right, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into our Bible study for this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for every woman that got up this morning and they showed great honor and respect to you by being here, just so that they might be under the hearing and the teaching of your powerful word this morning. We thank you for your word. Oh, how we need your word. We need to know it. We need to hear it. We need to be encouraged by it, exhorted by it, corrected by it, led by it. And so, Father, this morning, once again, we ask you to speak very, very personally to us. Encourage us, Father. Strengthen us and help us through the hearing of your word. We thank you that it is living, it is anointed, it is very unique. It's not like any other book we read or study. It has an impact upon our hearts, like a sword, and it just divides down to the dividing of the bone and the marrow there, and it just shows us the intent of our heart. So help us this morning, Father, to open our lives to your word, that you might speak very powerfully to us. And we praise you for what you're going to do through the study of your word in our lives and in our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and put a marker there. And then turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 and put a marker there. And we're going to be going back and forth between those two books this morning. Genesis 4 and Hebrews chapter 11. And let me do the same thing. I think I'm already there. Good. Now, let's just start by pointing out verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at it with me. And it says in that verse, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him," speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Now, I would just say on the front end, Teresa, you say to me, how do I live a life that pleases God? I want to please God. Do you want to please God? Well, I'm going to tell you, according to that verse, what is the only thing that pleases God? What is it? It's faith. It's faith. It's believing him. You must come to him and believe that he is, and that he's who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, let's look at, we're going to have one verse in our lesson today, and it's verse 4 of Hebrews. Look at it with me, Hebrews 11. And this is what it says. "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he, Abel, obtained the testimony that he, Abel, was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Now notice it says there, though he's dead, he still speaks. Dead man, do tell tales. They're not silent. And his life is still speaking to us. Now, what is he saying? And that's our question. And what we're going to be doing is looking at this subject of faith. And we're going to look at illustrations. Now, I like illustrations because I like to see something. I mean, show me how to do something. Don't tell me how to do something. I do much better. I remember I went to college. I studied 3.5 years to be a teacher. And then I had one semester of practice teaching. My goodness, I learned so much in that one semester of practice teaching. Volumes more than I learned in the books. And I mean, if you want to teach me how to do my phone, do not give me the manual. I can't do the manual. Just go down to the Cellular South office and I say, show me. And they show me and still don't know how to do it, but anyway. I mean, I understand it when they're showing me. Then I get home and I say, oh, what did he say? Same way with a lot of things in life. And so, first of all, last week, we looked at, in chapter 10, and just turn back to it, we see there, and I think it's on verse 37, let me look, of chapter 10. where it says there, and he's quoting Habakkuk, that for the just shall live by faith. Is that where I'm supposed to be? 38. For my righteous one, or the just, shall live by faith. And so that brings us to some illustrations of faith. Last week he gave us sort of a definition, and now we're going to go into specific illustrations. And this brings us, we're going to go all the way back to the very dawn of time this morning. We're going to see a man named Abel and a man named Cain. They lived when the earth was new. Now you say, oh my gosh, the world is so different today. I mean, we're in 2011. How could anybody living at the dawn of time have something to say to me, because things are so different? What is he talking about anyway, that he's going to tell me something through Abel? And the one word that we're dealing with in this series that we're studying is the word faith. And that is the message that Abel is going to give us this morning. It's the message of how to be a woman of faith. Now, do you want to know how to be a woman of faith? Well, Abel's going to, he's going to preach to us, even though he's dead. But now, before we look at Abel, let me give you a little background with the book of Hebrews. I taught the book of Hebrews in precept about 13 years ago, and it took 2 years to go through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a very, very deep book. And the writer of Hebrews, and I told you this last week, he's writing this letter to Jews. They are coming out of an old economy where they made sacrifices and where they kept different feasts, and they went through all of these washings, and there were all of these very minute things that they did, and they were all pictures of Christ. And they had to worship at the temple. The temple was a picture of Christ. And then when Christ came, the new covenant was initiated. And when it was initiated, the old economy was no longer valid. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to show them the superiority of the new covenant and of Christ. And he goes on to tell them that the only way that you can come into this new covenant is by faith. That the old system of ritual and works, that's no longer valid. The people come only by faith. And then he shows them in the verse I just showed you from Habakkuk. It's actually been that way the whole time. Men always have come to God by faith in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, but he's wanting them to let go of all of the trappings that went with this old covenant. And so he says the only way is by faith, to believe that God is. To believe that Christ is God in human flesh. To believe that Christ died, he rose again, he lives today, and that you can only know God through Christ by faith. And that means I'm just putting, I'm going to bank on what he's done for me. I'm going to put all of my trust in that. Now, what is faith? And he starts out in verse 1 of chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we looked at that in depth last week. Faith takes what is unseen, and yet in the future, the promises of God, what God has said, and stakes its life on it. You believe it, and you put your whole trust in it. And that's what faith is. Now, the writer is going to give us some illustrations. And so we're going to start this morning with Abel. Now, it's not Adam, and it's not Eve. Do you know that Adam and Eve, they didn't have to have the evidence of things not seen. Guess what they had seen? They'd seen God. They walked with God. They lived in Eden. They were created perfect. They had a perfect relationship with God, and they saw the manifestation of God every day in the Garden of Eden. They knew him very personally. They had communion with him. But Abel and Cain were born outside of the Garden of Eden. Now, you remember, after they sinned, God had to take them out of the Garden of Eden. Do you know why? Do you know what was in the Garden of Eden? It was the Tree of Life. Had they been sinners eating of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in the sinful state. God said, no, you're fallen. You must be removed. He took them out of the garden. He put two flaming swords at the entrance to the garden and an angel, and they were not permitted to go into the garden. And then Abel was born outside. Cain was born first, and then Abel was born. Now, Abel is the first man of faith in the Bible. He's the very first man of faith. And it says there in the verse I just read you that by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did, through which he obtained the testimony, through which he obtained approval that he was righteous. And he's still speaking, even though he was dead. Now let's go to chapter 4 of Genesis, and let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. You remember God created man on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested. And when you come to chapter 4, you have the children of Adam and Eve are being born. Look at verse 1. Now man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, one of her sons was a shepherd, and one of her sons was a farmer. Both of her sons were sinners, both of them. They were conceived after the fall. They are just the second men who ever lived on the earth. Now, I want you to notice something with me. Do you see any missing links here from Adam to Eve? I mean, we come to the Adam and Eve are the first people on earth, and then come Cain and Abel. And this really gives evolutionists a problem. That's why they say Genesis cannot be true. They don't see any missing links in Genesis. I mean, you come to Cain and Abel, and they're functioning on earth in every capacity as men function. They're not any animal-type men who are just grunting and dragging their woman by the hair and going into the cave without tools, and the wheel hadn't been invented, and they're just out eating wild berries. And you don't see that in the book of Genesis. And the indication in Scripture is by the time you come to Cain and Abel, you have the fact that they lived in a civilized home. They had knowledge of how to till the ground and how to keep sheep and how to harvest and plant and do all those things. Cain tilled the ground. He cared for it. He planted it. He had information. Now you have to realize, when God placed Adam in the garden, Adam knew a lot. And he got his information directly from God. If you look back in Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. In other words, even before the fall, he was keeping the garden. He was tilling it. He had knowledge of horticulture. He knew how to handle a garden. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 20, you find out that Adam named all of the animals. He's not a caveman. There are no missing links in God's history. God created man very sophisticated, very smart. Now go to verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but to Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Now I want you to remember with me, what is the key word we're looking at in chapter 11? Of Hebrews. It's the word faith. That's the key word. And that's what we want to find out here. Now we read here that both Cain and both Abel brought a sacrifice. Now I'm going to show you some interesting things that we're going to assume. Okay? Here's number one. There was a place to worship. They both came, is what it says. And so I'm going to assume by that they came to a certain place to worship. That's number one. They had to bring their sacrifice somewhere, didn't they? So we're just going to assume, it says in verse 3, Cain brought. It says in verse 4, Abel brought, and it says in verse 5, they brought it unto the Lord. So this indicates that the Lord was somewhere where you could bring something. Now, I read some commentaries. They think that it was right outside the door of the Garden of Eden, where the flaming swords were. And they thought that's a place where an altar was. I don't know. Here's another thing we can assume. There was a time for worship. There was a place. Number two, there was a time. It says, so it came about in the course of time. That's what it says there. And in the Hebrew, it really means at the end of a certain prescribed time. It was time for sacrifice. And maybe God had revealed to them a certain day that was to be a day of atonement, a special day. And it could be that this is the first occasion recorded in chapter 4 of the Day of Atonement. Now, I think it's also indicated by the virtue of the fact that this, they both came at the same time. One came bringing fruit, one came bringing an animal. So they came at a certain time. So they seemingly had information about a place to go and a time to go. All right, here's a third thought. There was a way to worship. There was a place, there was a time, and there was a certain way that God could be approached. And the thing I want you to see is that God could be approached how? By bringing what? A sacrifice. Now, the children of Adam and Eve had been definitely instructed that there was a place and a time and a way to sacrifice. I believe God had shared that with them. So this concept of sacrifice appears here in the Bible for the very first time. But we assume that they had to have gotten their information somewhere. Now here they come bringing their offerings, and God accepts one and does not accept the other. Now, we're talking about faith. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if he's going to be confirmed in faith, now follow me, he has to have a standard by which he has heard God's word in order for his faith to be acceptable. He must have had information from God. And this information regarded him coming and bringing a sacrifice. Now, there's not a thing wrong with farmers. Farmers aren't less than shepherds. And even if you studied the Old Testament, there were times in the old economy you brought fruit and grain offerings to the Lord, and you would present your vegetables before the Lord, and he would accept them. But you always brought, now listen very carefully, a blood sacrifice first, because a blood sacrifice dealt with sin. And when Abel did what God said, he revealed his obedience. When he brought a blood sacrifice, now this is what he was acknowledging. I am a sinner. Cain was disobedient. He came with his vegetables. And that didn't acknowledge his sin. And so it says, by faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. It was better. Why? Because it was blood. And God had prescribed this. Otherwise, he would have no idea what he was doing. And by it, Abel was made righteous. If this was just an accident, that because he was a shepherd, he brought blood, that doesn't seem fair for God to say, okay, good, you did it right. You're righteous. If it was only an accident, that he thought, well, I'm a sheep keeper, I'll bring a sheep. And Cain said, well, I'm growing tomatoes, and look at this good one, I'll bring a tomato. And it would be so arbitrary of God to say, well, I like sheep a lot better than tomatoes. And I want you to see that whenever Abel was accepted, that means that somewhere along the line, Abel heard that God wanted him to bring blood. And he obeyed God. That gives us the premise here for how he was made righteous, or how he was accepted. God only accepts faith. Abel believed God, and Abel approached God God's way. Cain had the information, but Cain wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to approach God in the way he wanted to approach God. And Cain stands as all time as the father of false religion. And you know what false religion is? It's just coming to God by another way. A way which God has not prescribed. And so even in the beginning, God says, I have a certain way. And Cain's thinking, well, I'll just come my own way. And that is false religion. And when he did that, he failed to acknowledge he was a sinner. Now, another thing I want you to see, he failed to obey God by bringing what God prescribed for his sin. He thought he could just come any way he wanted to go. And I want you to look down in that chapter 4 at verse 16, because I want you to see it says, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He's going to go out. He's going to live in another part in the land of Nod, which is east of Eden. And God rejects Cain. But it's because Cain wanted to do it his own way. I want you to know, you come to God by his terms. It's all on his terms. It's not, well, I think I'll do it this way. You don't come to God in that way. You come on his terms. And Cain walked away from God. And I want you to feel sorry for poor Cain, because God didn't accept his fruit. Cain knew what God wanted. I believe Cain had been told. I don't think God was giving righteousness out to Abel in an arbitrary manner. I don't think ignorance was the issue. I think it was willful sin on the part of Cain. Now, I want to support this with a verse. Just jot it down and I'll read it to you. 1 John 3:12. Listen to what this says. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. Who killed his brother. His own works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. That's 1 John 3:12. And he identifies Cain as being of Satan. Now, God had given them what he wanted. I believe God had prescribed the plan. And either they could obey it or disobey it. Abel chose to obey, and Cain did not. Now, I want you to remember that after Adam and Eve sinned with me, now think about this, and this gives us a hint of the indication of their need for a sacrifice. Do you remember what did they do? They hid from God and they covered themselves with what? Fig leaves. And God was walking and God said, where are you? Where are you? Have you eaten of the tree of which I've told you not to eat? And then Adam said, well, the wife, the woman you gave me, she made me, she gave it to me, it's her fault. And if you go back and read, what God did was he took the skins of animals and covered them. Now you see a picture there. The fig leaves weren't sufficient. God had to do something else. Now here's some things I want you to see. Number one, sinners need covering. Number two, they couldn't cover themselves. It couldn't be a human manufacture. God came and designed the covering. Number three, God had to provide it himself. He's the one that took the animals and killed them and took the skins. And then the fourth thing I want you to see, that it was obtained only by death. An animal had to die. And so in a very limited way, even in Genesis, right then, we see the importance of sacrifice as a covering for sin. And it's just a hint of it there. So look, faith, that's what we're talking about. It's going to presuppose something, and that is that God has given a divine revelation of how to come to him. Now, I want you to think about Cain with me a minute. He really just believed in himself. He believed in the wrong thing. I want you to look at a verse in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 9:22, because I think this is an important verse for us to see. Hebrews 9:22. And look what it says. It says, without the shedding of blood, what? There is no forgiveness or remission of sins. Blood is God's standard. And Abel brought the firstling, it says, and the separated fat. Now, what does that tell you? He had already killed the animal when he was bringing it. He brought the firstling, and that means that was the best one of his flock, and the separated fat. He had already killed the animal. He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's where a life of faith begins. It begins with the sacrifice for sin. And recognizing that you're a sinner and that you're worthy of death and that you need a covering. You need a forgiveness. And that's the beginning of a life of faith. Now here we are in Genesis. Here's the first lamb, one lamb for one man. You move on into Old Testament, you see the Passover. That's one lamb for a whole family. You go a little further, you see the Day of Atonement. That's one lamb for the whole nation. And then you go on to the New Testament and you see Calvary. That's one lamb for the whole world. And here we are in Genesis at the very first lamb. So Abel brought the right sacrifice. He believed what God said. He obeyed God, but not Cain. And in a lot of ways, Cain was a hypocrite because Cain was very religious. He came. He brought a sacrifice. He was doing it his own way, and he was cloaking his rebellion in religious activities. And he was patronizing God. And God says, you've got to do it my way. You've got to do my way. Now, turn to Jude. I want to show you something in Jude about Cain. And I'm going to have to find this. Hang on. And I want you to look at verse 3 and 4 with me first. And I want to show you, he was like these in Jude. Look at verse 3. It says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that certain people have come into the church, and they look like a sheep, but they're not. They're a wolf. And they take they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. In other words, they're very immoral. And they say, oh, well, God's grace, it'll cover it up, you know. And they're in the church. Now look at verse 11. Woe to them, he says, for they have gone the way of Cain. And that's a picture of Cain. Cain came in. He was in worship. He was coming. But he came in his own way. You don't come to God in your own way. Now, I'll tell you what God says. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, what does it mean, he's Lord? It means I come under his authority and I do things his way. But if I come into the church and I say, well, I just don't like that. I like this. I like going to heaven, but I don't like being under his authority and him telling me what to do. I'm going the way of Cain. If I'm going to go the way of Abel, by faith, I'm going to hear what God says and I'm going to obey. Do you see what faith looks like? Faith hears what God says in his prescribed way, and it does it God's way. And to do it your own way is to go the way of Cain. What is faith? Faith is taking what God has said and I'm banking my life on it. I'm going to do it God's way. Now, how did we know in Genesis that his sacrifice was accepted. I have an idea. I don't know if it's true. But five times in the Old Testament, you saw fire fall down from heaven and consume a sacrifice. I really believe that's what happened in Genesis. I think Cain put that sacrifice on, nothing happened. Abel put his sacrifice on the altar, I believe fire fell. I think somehow visibly, Cain really understood my sacrifice was not acceptable. And it made him so angry that he killed his brother. And even after he did that, God said to him, why is your face fallen? Don't you know if you do right, you'll do well? And I think God was being gracious to him, but he wouldn't receive it. And he wouldn't do it God's way. And if you do a study of Cain, all of his descendants are the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Itzites, and they're all ungodly people. And so Cain's blood cries out from the ground. And because Cain's choices were so wrong, God said to him, I'm going to curse the earth. You're going to try to till. It's going to be really hard. And you're going to be a wanderer on the earth for the rest of your life. And it's so sad. He walked away from God because he wanted to do it his way. His way. And so Abel is dead, but he's still speaking. Now, what does he say? Here's what he said. Number one, man comes to God one way. That's by faith. And you don't ignore God's revelation. And number three, sin is going to be punished for the one who doesn't obey. I come to God by faith. I don't ignore his revelation. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to obey it. And I know this, that sin is severely punished for the one who doesn't obey. He's preaching a timeless sermon, and he's telling us the just shall live by faith. Now, did you know all that about Abel and Cain? I bet you hadn't studied that. Isn't it interesting? The Bible is such a fascinating book. And we're going to be looking now at different ones from the Old Testament. And we're going to see what did faith look like in their life. And it's going to help me see what does faith look like for me today. Because I want to be a woman that pleases God. I want to be a woman of faith. And it's all on, I've got to know what is God's revealed word. And then I've got to obey it. Well, what if I don't feel like it, Teresa? I mean, I'm married to a turkey. And I've got some bitterness in my heart. And I don't want to forgive. And all kinds of different issues in life. You know what? I'm not going to walk by my feeling. I'm not going to walk by my own reasoning. But I'm going to believe that the grace of God is there for me. Okay. I just want to do it God's way. I really, really do. Do you? I want to know what His Word says, and I want to obey His Word. So Abel's giving us a good lesson this morning. A very good lesson. And even though it was at the dawn of time, it still is powerful for us to know what God says and embrace it by faith and say, by cracky, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to believe it and put my life on what I believe. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this one. Even though he's dead, his life is still speaking to us. He came to you in the right way. He came to you in the way you said to come. He came to you by blood. And that's the only way we can come to you is by the blood of Christ. And to understand that you made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin that we might become righteous. It was the shedding of the blood of that perfect Lamb of God that gives us access. And by faith we reach out and we embrace it. And we live our life, stake our life on the fact that it's true. And so, Father, I pray that you would teach us about being women of faith as we study these lessons. And grow us in regards to our respect for what you've done for us in Christ. And grow us in regards to hunger after your word, that we might be careful, even as Abel was careful, to walk in accordance to what you've written. Help us not to be self-willed like Cain, We don't want to go the way of Cain. We want to go the way of Abel. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. See you.